Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. It's 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in today. Somebody call the police. They did. They're here.
Yep,
I'm not
here.
In trouble, my guys. I didn't know.
I don't know. Your producer pointed you out for some reason.
Jeremy Needles is here. Sergeant Jeremy Needles and Officer Dennis Blackman from the St. George Police Department. Guys, I sure appreciate you coming in, and I love talking with St. George's finest.
We love being here. And thanks for having us.
The boys in blue. Yeah, I love that. You guys, you know, we've talked a lot in the past, different police officers and different divisions of the police department, but
we're definitely the best, though.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I will say again, though, that I mean, just the fact that you guys are willing to do what you do. Gosh, a story today in the news about a police officer in New York that was shot. A car parked illegally. They walked up. He'd been on the force 3 years. They walked up behind it to see what was going on, and guy opened fire on him. You know,
we that live kind in a of crazy thing, world.
Yeah, that kind of thing happens, and fortunately, that kind of thing hasn't happened much here, but.
Yeah,
you know, knock on wood, right?
Yeah.
Knock on veneer, whatever this is here.
Yeah, no, we've got a wonderful community. You know, yeah. Very supportive and stuff, and it's.
Yeah, I tell people all the time that I probably wouldn't do this job very many places in the country.
True.
I mean, I grew up in Southern California. I know all the craziness that happens there, and we moved here, and it's just such a beautiful community, and the people here are just they want you to be here.
Yeah,
and we have good folks. You know, we have other problems that happen, but you know, overall, it's a great community.
My nephew is a police officer in Ogden for Ogden City.
Oh, yeah.
And for a long time, I don't know how long you guys have lived in Utah, but for a long time, Ogden was kind of considered the armpit of Utah.
Yeah.
And a lot of problems there. They've cleaned things up in the last decade or two compared to what they used to be, but they still have problems.
Yeah.
Gangs and things like that they have to deal with. But we tried to talk him into coming down here. Why don't you come be a police officer in St. George, because we don't have a lot
we
of
will
the
take
garbage
him.
You do.
Not to mention that white stuff they've got up there.
Yeah.
The snow. Yeah.
We get to enjoy it from afar, go visit it, we can come back to where it's not here.
Last week, we had an article on our website written by Stockton. It featured Jeremy, and it talked a little bit about some of the seven deadly sins of driving, some of the things that people do. I think, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, our biggest problem right now is people, it's almost like they don't have time to drive. They got all this other stuff they want to do, and then they get behind the wheel, and they still have it all to do, but they forget, oh, by the way, I have to drive.
Yeah, no, they... they're inconsiderate, to put it nicely, right?
No,
everybody has a place to get to, and when people are in crashes, you ask them, going, where are you headed? Oh, I'm headed home. What do you got to get home so fast for?
Yeah.
Well, I saved a show that's on my DVR from 3 nights ago. I need to watch it. It's still going to be there, you know, but people rushing to get nowhere fast.
My son got a ticket on the freeway yesterday, or day before yesterday, and I said, were you late for something? He said, no, I was just going home from the gym. I had to be to work in an hour. I'm like, why would you get a speeding ticket if you, you know, weren't even late for anything? I mean, you're just going home. He's, oh, I don't know. He's had like four now over, but it's been 4 and 10 years, so that's not.
Is his foot hit the ground a little harder on the?
Apparently, he has a heavy right foot. Mm-hmm. Yes, apparently.
Happens to the best of us.
Now, Dennis, Officer Blackman is a motorcycle officer. How is that? You like that?
Oh, I love it. I mean, yeah. I get paid to ride a motorcycle. It's one of the
cool.
Best jobs. I mean, I've been riding a motorcycle for a couple decades. I love it. And I get to ride it here. I mean, St. George is such a beautiful area, Southern Utah. I feel like some days I'm kind of on vacation. But it's a lot of fun. It's challenging. You definitely have a lot more things you got to look out for. But it allows us to do some proactive traffic enforcement, which the one thing we always see people on Facebook and different social media sites is how bad traffic is in St. George. Well, we have a whole division dedicated to that, and we have several motor officers that we know we get to go out there and kind of do some things that you might not be able to do in a regular police cruiser and just kind of enjoy the community while we're doing it.
I'm glad you're out there. You want to say, well, the traffic's bad. Just go spend a day or two up in Salt Lake County like I did this past weekend. And, this traffic's fine.
When I moved here, people are like, oh, the traffic's terrible. I said, well, traffic here is like if you have to slow down from 80 to 65.
Yeah.
That's what they consider traffic, you know. Back home, we used to have to plan an extra 20, 30 minutes just to go, you know, it's like from here to Hurricane. you'd have to plan an extra half hour just because of all the traffic you would have to endure on the way there. It's not so much here.
Yeah, I got a friend who drives to Enterprise every day. And that's quite a commute for his job. But he says, you know what, if I lived in Southern California and I had to drive 45 miles, it would take me 2 hours or more.
Oh, absolutely. So, we had an officer that worked for us for a little while that lived in Enterprise. And I thought that was forever away. But you think about it, you don't have any traffic going down, like you said. Yeah. Get here lickety-split.
The only bad thing about Enterprise, they get that white stuff you were talking about, Jeremy. Oh,
yes.
it does get cold up there. So I had an article, Dennis, about motorcycles on the website. Kind of, I kind of looked into the psychology behind why people don't see motorcycles. I know that's a real problem. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, that's just cliche. No, it's a real thing. The brain, one of the things that, and they did this report, it was commissioned by the U.S. Navy for whatever reason, but one of the things they discovered was that, you know, we all think our eyes are our cameras and we record everything, and that's not true. Sometimes the brain has to fill in for stuff that we don't see, and unfortunately, especially if it's something unusual we're not used to. And so if there's a motorcycle coming, a lot of times our brain will not even, I mean, we literally don't, it doesn't register in our brains, and that's a concern for sure.
Isn't that crazy how that happens? I mean, just think about it. Every day we pretty much drive to the same places every day. Mm-hmm. You think about four or five different locations that you drive to, that's probably about 90% of where you drive to.
True.
And a lot of times you can have something else going on in your life and you're not even thinking about driving. So there's a cop term called an OODA loop, you know, where you get in this cycle. And
let's see if I can remember. Observe, orient, what's the D? I can't remember.
See, you would ask. I could tell you what it is, but I don't know, remember the definition.
I can tell you what it means, but the actual acronym.
Yeah, that's just
the thing. You got to break that. So, you know, in police terms, we think, you know, you get into a high-stress situation, you're trying to break that so you can focus on doing what you have to do. Same thing with driving. You know, if all of a sudden somebody slams on their brakes, you may be having plenty of following distance, but maybe your brain's thinking about something else, or maybe an argument you just had, or whatever else. Maybe just jamming out to your favorite song in the car.
You know,
someone brakes, and your action perception time is going to be increased just because you have to get that out of that OODA loop, and, oh, now I got to press the brake, and you end up rear-ending somebody. So it's just one of those things where we're all guilty of it. I mean, even police officers, let's be honest. It's just trying to be more more present while you're driving. And, you know, unfortunately, after you had a long day of work, maybe you just want to crank that radio and go. But you got to remember, there's all these other cars on the road, too. So
yeah, how many times have you driven through an intersection where you're going to go, holy crap, was that like red, green? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't even remember. That totally happens all the time, Jeremy. Yeah.
Well, we had a crash last week, I believe, week before. And in fact, right here on Dixie at 500 North, the lady, she blew through a red light, and she T-boned a truck. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I don't remember anything. And then you show her a dash cam video that the vehicle next to her happened to have got the whole thing on video. And you show her what happened. She's like, I don't remember any of that.
Wow.
So like, well, it's because
it happened.
I got to show you there, but yeah.
So, right, it's important to scan, you know, think of something else. Look to your left, look to your right, look for other cars around you. Break that up, right?
Mm-hmm. I saw a video this morning about a crash on Dixie Drive here yesterday. Maybe road raid. Somebody stopped for no reason because they didn't. I don't know. We don't know the motivation, but do you guys know what happened there? Anything about that one?
No.
I wasn't working yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a truck stopped in the middle of the road for the video they had. There's video of it.
Oh,
the video
I know
they
what
have,
it is. Yeah.
There didn't seem to be a reason for the truck to be stopped in the middle of the road.
Was it in the construction zone area?
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw that, and I don't know the details of it because it happened on Sunday. But I believe there's a no left turn right there, and what happened is the truck in the front had stopped just to make the left turn because he probably always makes a left turn there and not looking at the signs. And then there was an F-150 behind it that he's thinking, I'm not expecting someone to stop in the middle of the road here, and just kind of rear ends him. I actually got that video from the gentleman who had the dash cam, so we can give it to the reporting officer. I haven't heard the report yet, but it's just one of those things where even in a construction zone, people are going to do dumb things. It is what it is. And so if you're not paying attention, you're like, okay, well, this person's just going to jam on their brakes. And we've given people tickets for following too closely. Like, well, they shouldn't have stopped in the middle of the road. You're absolutely right. But you also have to make sure that you're not
aware.
You're aware. You're not going to just hit anything that pops in the middle of the road, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of things could happen, pop up.
In the news.
Deer on South Dixie Drive.
In the news yesterday and today, they've got a fundraiser going for a couple that was killed in Nevada, but they're a St. George couple. They were engaged. Sad, sad story. I think, and I don't know the details on this, but it seems like from what we could tell, they were on a motorcycle together. A truck turned in front of them, happened to unfortunately be a diesel truck, a semi truck, which makes it even worse. And they were both killed. It goes back to what we were talking about, officer, about, you know, not seeing motorcycles and even a semi truck.
And the thing is now, so motorcycles can technically do a little bit of lane splitting. Mm-hmm. We call it lane filtering. So in other states,
stoplight.
Vehicles have to be stopped. And, you know, you're in traffic and maybe it's backed up, you know, 15, 20 cars. And all of a sudden you see this motorcycle that gets to do go through you.
Yeah.
And, you know, cruise up to the front. Sometimes people that will trigger road rage.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like if that's the worst thing that happens in your whole entire day, man, your life's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to look out for them. And as a motorcycle rider, I would recommend to new riders is that start looking at cars' tires. Because if you can watch the tires, you're kind of seeing what their habits are. Are they one of those people that kind of swerves in the middle of the lane and goes left, right? You kind of see what's happening. And when I started riding, I figured that out. And it made me slow down a whole lot more and give a little bit more following distance because I kind of knew what the car was going to do. Well, not knew, but I kind of could estimate what they were going to do. So it's not just always on the cars, too. I mean, I'm not going to say that the bike riders are without fault, too. They need to understand that they can get in this small little blind spot. The vehicle's just not going to see you. So be aware of that as well.
Yeah. Andy, you and I have both had something in common, and that's the fact that we've both been in a wreck on our motorcycles.
Yeah.
Right? Both of us, neither one of us at fault for those things.
Right.
And it's hard because, you know, we were talking about yours earlier and stuff, and you saw the car coming. You're like, hey.
I had a feeling.
You had a feeling, right?
Yeah.
And yet you slowed down, and yet you still could avoid it. And it's crazy that these drivers, you know, you're the only one on the road coming at them. I know my headlight's on. I know it's brightening them and stuff, but it's crazy that they just can't process it, so to speak, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, I had a big bike, 900-pound motorcycle, 1600 Vulcan, and I'm 300 pounds. My wife's, you know, 100 pounds. I mean, the package of us, I mean, we're talking about 1,200 pounds of something that I feel like they should have easily been able to see, but obviously the guy never saw us.
No.
You know?
It's scary. It's, you know, as a motorcycle rider, you got to ride like you're invisible because, in fact, you are.
One of the things I talk about in this article I wrote about people not seeing motorcycles is the fact that you can be right. You can feel righteous in indignation. I was right. I didn't do anything wrong. Guess what, folks? It doesn't matter if your leg is injured or if you die or if your passenger is hurt or whatever. It doesn't matter if you were right or not. That means nothing as far as your future. I still have leg problems. My accident was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. I still have leg problems, and, you know, it wasn't my fault. Doesn't matter.
100%. And, you know, with us seeing this warm weather, we're going to see a lot more motorcycles, a lot of kids on mopeds, scooters, you know, bicycles and stuff. And so it's really important this time of year to break that OODA loop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look around, be perceptive.
Mm.
Look to the right, look to the left, and it's going to help you avoid so many collisions that should be avoided anyway if you help break that mental process up, right?
Can you guys give us some advice? Change topics slightly. There was a lady in Salt Lake a couple of days ago. I don't know, maybe it was over the weekend, who was riding an electric scooter. You know, they have the rental scooters. You swipe your card, whatever, and you can go, 25 miles an hour or whatever on those. They're going pretty fast. Anyway, she hit a section of sidewalk that was kind of buckled a little bit, tossed her off the scooter, and sadly, she suffered serious head trauma and died. From this. What kind of advice would you give to the everyday average person who wants to rent an electric scooter or maybe who wants to ride an electric bike? Most of these people aren't wearing helmets. So do you have advice for someone like that?
Same thing. You can legally, right, drive on the sidewalk up here downtown. We have the scooters as well you can rent. I believe they top out at 15.
Yeah. 15 miles an hour.
15 miles an hour and stuff.
Spin scooters.
But what we see a lot of is that these scooters and electric bikes are blowing through stop signs. They're not paying attention to cars that are actually pulling out. Because think about it. When you're pulling out from a driveway onto the roadway, right, St. George Boulevard, you're not going to necessarily look left because there's that cement barrier.
Yeah.
And so all you're going to do, I mean, you're not going to look right. And so you look left, seeing the gap, and then these kids come from the right, not paying attention, and they end up getting hit because this car's pulling out as they see the gap to turn right on the roadway and stuff. And so as a rider, you need to be aware that these cars are not looking at you. Even cars at four-way stops, they look right, look left. They're not going to look a secondary time to think about you. And so it's your responsibility to slow down, make sure they see you, right? I always tell people, look at their eyes, make eye contact with them. And even if you do make eye contact, a lot of times they still don't see you, right? But
and unlike motorcycles, the one thing motorcycles do have is they make a lot of noise. Usually, you know, motorcycles are relatively loud. These little scooters and bikes, they're silent.
They're silent. I mean, we talked about the Surons, the electric motorcycles, last time, and those things are doing, you know, between 40 to 70 miles an hour, with zero noise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a couple kids that stepped out from behind a parked car and got whacked by one of these bikes, and they're like, I didn't even hear it coming. Yeah, because they're going so fast. It's scary. Wear your helmets, right? That could be the matter of life or death.
Should average everyday people be riding these electric things? I mean...
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, if you've never ridden one, that's great. They're fun. Like the Surons, they're a lot of fun. But know your abilities.
Yeah.
I mean, if you come to St. George, I mean, we have how many tourists come through every year? You see, oh, that would be kind of cool to take the spin scooter down the road because you can just leave it wherever. But if you've never been on one, you know, that initial takeoff might take you by surprise.
Yeah.
And that may be fine if you're on flat ground or relatively flat ground. But if, like this gal, you know, if you see a buckle in the road, you know, oh, God, maybe you want to think about that. Maybe go around it or not go over it at 100 miles an hour. It's you know, use some brain power a little bit.
Well, I guarantee that lady never thought she was going to die that day. She was just having fun on a rented scooter. Maybe she maybe even saw the buckled sidewalk and thought, well, I'll just jump over that. No big deal. And then
but then that kind of goes back to I'm going to throw myself under the bus. But as we get older, we can't necessarily do the things that we used to.
Oh, yeah.
My brain may still tell me that I could jump 10 feet off that.
Yeah, I don't see any gray hair, by the way, Jeremy. So.
It's I use it. I brush it.
Shave
in.
It off.
He sits there and plucks it out. It's funny you mentioned that. We were at the park the other day after dinner, and I was playing tag with my four-year-old, and he's running around trying to tag me or whatnot. And I thought, oh, I can just jump off this jungle gym into the wood chips. And I jumped down there, and, you know, I walked it off, and my wife's like, are you okay? She's like, you know, you just turned 40, right?
Define okay, honey.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Do I hurt? Yes. As a matter of fact, I do.
Have to go to the hospital? No, not yet.
So we're talking with Sergeant Jeremy Needles, Officer Dennis Blackman of the St. George Police Department. Sergeant Needles, how long have you been on the force there?
Just about 19 years now.
19 years.
Got here in 2005, and it's crazy to see what the city's done as far as growth. Like, 2005, I believe the population was just over 47,000.
Hmm.
Now we're over 100. You know, 19 years later, it's crazy. And if you look at the square miles of the city, take River Road to I-15, you know, down around Exit 4, that's all mountains, right? Eventually, that's going to be all homes and businesses and everything else. And, God, it's going to be crazy.
You guys ever drive up north, you go past New Harmony on the left there.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking with County Commissioner Almquist about, I guess there's an 800-home subdivision that is being developed right there in New Harmony just off the freeway. Washington County owns the road, the access road, the exit road there on 42. But the subdivision will be in Iron County, but they want to use, of course, the Washington County road to access. So they're in negotiations with stuff. But imagine driving out up past New Harmony and seeing 800 homes just off to the left. It's crazy.
It is. It's nuts. No, it's been a good 19 years for me and stuff.
That's good. Officer Blackman, how about you? How long have you been?
Actually, you know, I started this career a little bit later. I started at 35, so I've been in about 5 years. But my background's been in education. I was a high school teacher. And
really?
What I was also an electrician. I taught shop.
Oh,
I was actually part of the...
I love shop.
You know, it's great because a lot of the shop programs, when the old shop teacher retires, if the school has an agricultural education program, a lot of times they'll kind of bring it into the ag program. We call it agriculture mechanics. And the neat thing is that you're not kind of pigeonholed and just being like a metal shop. You're not pigeonholed into being a wood shop. I got to teach everything, which was a lot of fun because it's like, hey, the kids get some life skills and, you know, they... might have a period of the day they don't have to sit there and stare at a book all period. And
yeah.
It's just, it was a lot of fun.
One of my favorite classes ever was I took in high school a small engine repair class.
Yep.
Where you were taking like a lawnmower.
Briggs and Stratton.
Breaking it down. And yep. I remember the final test in the class was you would get a motor, mm-hmm. a lawnmower motor or whatever, and there'd be something wrong with mm-hmm. it. And your job was to diagnose, figure out what it was, and fix it.
Yep. So, I did the exact same thing. Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because I had seniors who were pretty good mechanics. And so it was a little more difficult to trip them up, but yeah. It was just always fun because it made them think.
So it was fun as a teacher to sabotage these engines and try to...
Oh, 100%. Oh, it absolutely. Because you had to come up with cool ways because, you know, kids would talk, oh, hey, fourth period, no, Mr. Blackman did this to the motor, you know. Okay, well, maybe I happen to leave a valve out, you know, and all of a sudden it doesn't work right because there's no intake valve. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Where was this at, by the way?
It was a little town in Central California called Dinuba. And Dinuba. To kind of give a little... geographic there. If you know where Fresno is,
okay,
and there's a little town called Visalia. We're right in the middle, so it's about a half hour south of Fresno.
Okay,
and just tiny little farming community. A lot of good kids there.
Do you mind me asking what your motivation was to become a police officer? That shop teacher to police officer.
I know.
That's a weird transition.
You know what? I always wanted to be a police officer, and in California they had certain physical requirements that kind of limited me a little bit. So we moved out here. I saw an opportunity, and I did some research, and it turned out that their limitations here weren't the same as California. Hmm. So I said to ask my wife how she felt about that. So I put myself through, I self-sponsored myself through the, it's now Utah Tech Academy out in Hurricane. So I was an electrician all day long, and then I would go to the Post Academy at night and make for real long days. But I always had a passion for, and I said, you know what, either it's going to work or it's not. And here I am.
There you are.
Yeah,
well, yeah, right.
He does a pretty decent job for your yeah. traffic division.
Trying to make too many headaches for him, but people don't like getting tickets sometimes, so I can't complain. I can't control when they call him. So,
when you're on the motorcycle, is that well? First of all, how long are you on the motorcycle every day?
You know, it depends. If it's a busy day and we get a lot of crashes, sometimes we have to go to the office and do some crash reports. Mm. But in the summertime, it gets warm right away, so we try to get on the bike as early as possible because it gets hot. But sometimes we'll be on the bike, you know, 10 hours a day, the entire day. If I hit it my way, I'd be on the bike 10 hours a day.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. It gets warm. Sometimes the weather isn't the easiest, but you try and take opportunities like today where it's going to be nice all day long. Before it gets into June and July where, you know, by 1 o'clock you're hitting triple digits. And you don't think about the heat that comes off of that motorcycle. And our gear we wear, our motorcycle pants are pretty thick.
Yeah.
So sometimes they don't always think about that. It gets pretty warm. But just go for, we call it a breeze out. You know, just go find a road, don't have any stoplights or stop signs. Just go for a ride.
My wife and I went down to Sedona, Arizona on a motorcycle trip, but she was very insistent that we wear, you know, ATGAT, all the gear all the time, right? And so we had thick pants on and leather jackets and the gloves and the helmet but Sedona in late July.
Oh my heck.
It's not good. So we would get to where we were going and, you know, go sit by the pool or whatever. And then it was like, okay, we got to go somewhere now, but we don't want to put all that stuff on. Let's just stay here and order out or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, 9:31 on KDX. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with St. George Police Department today. Sergeant Needles, Officer Blackman. More from them when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. This is the Andy Griffin Show with Sergeant Jeremy Needles and Officer Dennis Blackman here from the Traffic Division of St. George Police Department. Guys, thanks again for coming today. Appreciate it.
Oh, yes.
Good to have you here. Yeah. Everybody talks about traffic, and there are certain, you know, I don't mean to diminish that we do have traffic here in St. George. It's a real thing.
Oh, it's the biggest complaint we get, and I get a lot of emails from the mayor and city council members.
Fix this.
Yeah. This is horrible. And it is, you know, the amount of red light runners we're having specifically and everything else.
That seems to be, and we didn't talk about this during the break, but that seems to be something that is really big right now. People, for whatever reason, running red lights. And it's not, when you say running red lights, the first thing that pops in your head is the light has been red for 20 seconds and people just go right through it. That happens, but that's not as common as the people who see the light turn yellow And then right before they get to the light, they gun it, and it turns red, and they go anyway. That's actually more common, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, there's, well, like we talked about, the advantages of having a motorcycle and patrolling on a motorcycle. There's certain intersections I'll sit at. And, for example, 1000 East St. George Boulevard, I'll sit there. And my whole goal is looking for people that are running red lights. And I'll hear them before I ever see them. They'll be, all of a sudden, I'll hear a truck gun it. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Who's coming? And I'll just look, and I'll see a red light, and I look over, and all of a sudden, flies through it.
He's not going to stop.
He's not going to stop. And then he'll think, oh, well, it was orange. I said, well, we don't have orange lights on here. But, and then I said, well, I heard you accelerate, and that was after it turned red. So it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of people don't understand when they've run the red light or not, right? Or when they've legally entered stuff. And so you've got a stop line, right? You got the two crosswalk lines, and then before that, what they call the stop line or the intersection line. That's what defines the intersection. So if any part of your car is past that line, mm-hmm. right, when the light's green or yellow, you've legally entered and you could continue through the intersection. I always encourage people to pull into the middle of the intersection if you turn left, right? It cuts the distance to make that left turn. I know there's, I think California, that you can't lawfully do that.
Florida, too.
Really?
But get up in the middle of that intersection, right? Cut that distance because that's going to cut the amount of turnoff stuff. And when you're in that intersection waiting to turn left and you watch the light turn yellow and you see the cars coming, you can wait forever, right? Yeah. Make sure those other cars stop. Everybody thinks, oh, it's going to turn red. I got to get out of the intersection. No, you've lawfully entered. Wait a second. Make sure those cars are actually stopping because, like a bluff street here, we've got three southbound lanes. You're going to see those two inside lanes start. And then that last guy in that outside lane is going to go, I can beat this light, right? And he's two car lengths back, so you can't see him. And you get T-boned. Yeah.
Crash, yeah.
Mm. But if you've lawfully entered, you can wait and go. You're not going to get a ticket for it and stuff. But I always tell people, when the light turns yellow, hit your brakes. You know how you've got the dash lines coming up to an intersection, right? And then it turns into a solid line. That line is designed where if you were within that length of white line when it turns yellow, you have enough time to get through that intersection. And so if you're still at the dash portion and you see it turn yellow and you haven't got to that solid white line, you have time to stop. And so that makes sense.
It does. This weekend I was in Salt Lake visiting grandkids, and my son and I went to pick up my daughter from the train station. She was riding front runner up from Provo, but light turned yellow. You know, we weren't to the intersection yet, and so I started slowing down, and my son's like, Dad! I'm like, what? And he goes, you're doing that St. George thing where you slow down on a yellow and then stop. And I'm like, what was I supposed to do? Oh, you got to gun it. And I'm like, well, I guess, I don't know if I'm St. George or if I'm old or
We're changing the behavior. That's good.
That sounds great. Yeah. No, if it's going to spread up to the northern part of the state, I'm okay with that.
Spread the word. Yeah.
So the traffic unit, we've got six guys on motorcycles and then one traffic car. I'm actually going to, we're going to be putting another traffic crash car, we call them, to try to focus on crash and stuff in our unit. But we specifically look for a place where there's major accidents, right, major concerns to where our guys are working. Boulevard, River Road is a huge problem. You know, all these major intersections. One of the biggest, actually, in the city for the most wrecks with injuries is Dixie Downs and Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dixie Drive and Sunset, right? Because that's a larger intersection. You got multiple cars with higher speeds. People pull in there, and then they see the light turn yellow, or they gun it and end up getting into an accident and stuff, and because of those speeds and stuff. And so our guys, the traffic unit, tries to focus on those areas specifically. We'll go hit other things, like during the school zones and stuff. We'll hit those. But for the most part, we're trying to get these busier intersections. Interesting article that I read the other day in St. George News is we actually got, I don't know if you know, they're doing an expansion on I-15 here over the next year.
Yeah.
They actually got the funding to put in another underpass.
Right.
At either 400 East or 900 South.
Huh.
On the south side of the freeway, 900 South turns into 400 East. And so they're considering what type of underpass they're going to put there. And I think that'll be great because that will put another avenue to get downtown so people can take alternate routes, right?
And trying to reunite neighborhoods that have been split up for 60 years now because of the freeway. So that'll be good. I wanted to ask you guys about accident reconstruction. At what point do you have to go into a more detailed reconstruction? Is it if someone dies, if someone's seriously injured, or are all investigations of crashes exactly the same?
No, that's a great question. They're not all the same. So if there's somebody that has severe injuries where it could potentially kill them, the state law if there's a fatality within 30 days of that accident, we've got a completed accident reconstruction report. So any fatal thing, take the car that went off the cliff up by the old airport, right?
That wasn't that long ago, last week.
Yeah, we consider calling accident reconstruction because she was kind of in and out of conscious stuff. But then once we got word from the doctors that there was no severe internal injury and stuff, we didn't do it. But we initially looked at potentially doing that because of, you know, she'd driven off that and rolled several times. And so,
did they ever figure out why what happened there, why she did it?
Mental health reasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she maybe did it on purpose, is what you're saying.
Nothing definitive, but.
Yeah, nothing definitive.
Right. Okay.
She's okay, and that's what matters.
Mm-hmm. So when there's a crash, say a T-bone crash, and probably very common where, you know, what, maybe someone went through a light and there's a T-bone. If you get to the scene, you know, of the accident, and you're trying to figure out, you know, exactly what happened and why it happened, the severity of the injuries actually does determine how much investigating you do. Is that true?
Well, just as far as reconstruction goes, because reconstruction, mm-hmm. Each car has essentially a black box.
Right.
And so we'll write a warrant to get details from that, how fast, the input of the brakes, everything, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't go into that depth with the normal traffic acts, right? Because it's the way cars are designed nowadays, they crush and they create a safer environment for those inside of it.
We'll
still do a good investigation, but we're not going to go into the depths.
For example, we had the two fatalities here, right here at 500 North Bluff in the past few months.
Pedestrian ones,
yes.
Yeah.
So in that case, the whole intersection is going to be blocked off. Like, we're going to have it closed down for several hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of facets go into it. We're going to document all the evidence, all the data points. We have a lot of really cool tools at our disposal that we're going to be out there scanning the situation. And you know what? At the end of the day, if we gather more data than we need, that's fine. But you know, if we need it, we have it. And if we don't need it, that's okay, because we cannot go back and recreate that scene later.
Right.
You know, and that's the big thing. So if we come to a T-bone accident, for example, the accident that happened at 500 North, where the car came through and T-boned a pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get on scene with paramedics and people are either taken to the hospital or we figure out they're going to be okay and nothing life-threatening, our whole idea is there. Once everyone's safe, we want to clear the vehicles out of the roadway and get traffic moving.
Right.
You know, so if that's one thing we try and let people know, that if you get into an accident and no one's majorly hurt, try to get your vehicles out of the roadway. A lot of people think, oh, I have to be the exact same spot I was when the police get here.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what?
Yeah.
After we talk with everybody and we see the damage to your cars, 99% of the time, we're going to get a pretty good idea of what happened. So let's go ahead and just get those cars out of the roadway so that traffic can get flowing, and an officer will be there to help, you know, figure out information and get you guys on your way. So, yeah.
Good idea. Now, talk about private parking lots. Say I'm in Walmart or I'm in Costco parking lot or where, you know, a private business, and I get in a crash in a private parking lot. Does that change the way you guys investigate?
You know, it's the laws changed 2 years ago, 2022, that it doesn't matter actually where the crash occurred anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to be in a parking lot. It really didn't matter, right? But now any damage, total damage between two cars or whatever you hit, has to be more than $2,500. If that's, we do a full report, state report.
And that's not very much money anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, that's a scratch and a bumper nowadays.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
And so we'll still do a full report on those, even though it's on private property and stuff. And a lot of times it is just minor.
Or if there's any injury at all. I mean, I had somebody who had a minor, I would consider the damage a minor crash in a parking lot, but they bumped their lip on the steering wheel and they had a bloody lip.
Mm-hmm.
So if, under the guise of a law, we have to do a full report on it type thing. But if it's just a minor tap and a bump, if people want to exchange information and go along their way, everyone thinks, oh, my insurance needs a full-blown report. Well, not necessarily. But as long as you exchange information, you're going to be good to go.
Yeah. So a lot of parking lot ones that are just nothing, so to speak, no injuries, we don't a lot of times get called to those because they just exchange information, right?
Yeah.
Take pictures of each other's.
Would you recommend on any, even a little fender bender, that they call police on anything?
We get paid 24/7, so we're happy to come out and help and do what we can. A lot of times we've got a form that we'll give each driver. Mm-hmm. They fill out their own information, then they exchange it, and that's the extent of it.
Because everyone handles crashes differently, even as so minor. I mean, if they just don't feel comfortable or they're shooken up, I mean, if Univort's coming out and helping them exchange information, there's no problem doing that.
And we're helping verify insurance, too, as we come out. A lot of times you'll hear the people that go, hey, don't call the cops. I'll just give them my stuff. And then they call back in 3 days later going, hey, this guy gave me his insurance information, but it's not valid. And so if somebody's pretty insistent on not calling us, I would call us because they probably don't have insurance from experience.
Yeah, good call. And I think we've all been in an accident. I had a lady that rear-ended me years ago, and she, my uncle's an auto body guy. Don't call the cops. He'll fix it for free or whatever.
And you know what? And after we leave, if you guys want to handle it privately, that's great. But at least you're going to have accurate information in case you need it.
Another break. Got to get another break. And thank you, Officer Blackman and Sergeant Needles. We'll talk for a minute about the concerts going on down in Mesquite. This Saturday, Melody, actually, who's with us here on KDXU, she's hosting a concert at Casablanca Resort. It's Corduroy, a Pearl Jam tribute band, greatest hits from the 90s. That is this Saturday, starts at 8 o'clock at Casablanca Resort in Mesquite, Nevada. I'm not giving away tickets today, but just listen the next couple of days. We're going to be giving away tickets that'll include a couple of tickets plus free drinks while you're there. Again, it's this Saturday, greatest hits from the 90s featuring Corduroy, a Pearl Jam tribute band, down at the Casablanca Resort in Mesquite. Just look up Casablanca Resort online, and you'll find out more about that. Tickets start at $40, but like I said, I'm going to be giving some away, too, over the next couple of days. So stay tuned for that. And rock out in Mesquite.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, welcome back. Sergeant Needles, Officer Blackman are here from St. George Police Department. Thanks again, guys, for coming in. It's great to talk to you today. Love having you on there. Somebody had a great question. Do police officers have the ability to write tickets in a private parking lot of, say, a shopping center or a restaurant?
Thoughts? That is a great question. Mm-hmm. And there's an asterisk by this. There's very few things we could cite for. DUI, speeding, reckless driving, right? The city code for speeding in a parking lot. We can write. There's a negligent collision one that the city has. But what we found with citing that is that insurance companies are considering that like reckless driving. Mm-hmm. So they're getting people dropped from that citation. So we don't typically write that a lot unless somebody really.
And that's one of the great things about our job is we have discretion. So we have to, I look at it because obviously I respond to a lot of crashes. And I look at it. I mean, is it just a parking maneuver? Like, did they back out and didn't see you? Or are they intentionally driving like a jerk in a parking lot and they hit somebody and they cause a crash because they're being reckless? And 99% of the time, it's just because, hey, I didn't see you as I was backing out. Okay, it's called an accident for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Didn't do it on purpose.
No.
See, a lot of times we see a lot of people ask questions, going, why do I got to get a ticket for falling too close, right? When I know I'm at fault, my insurance is going to pay for it. Well, a lot of times insurance won't actually pay for it unless somebody is kind of deemed to have violated a law violation. We don't necessarily find who's at fault for accidents, but we find what contributed to it and give them tickets for it. I've seen cases where an officer didn't give a ticket for it, falling too close, and both the other guy's insurance, the victim's insurance, goes, well, we're not going to cover that because nobody was cited for it.
Wow.
And so we typically write a citation to help correct the behavior, change the behavior, right, but also to ensure that the victim doesn't get.
Yeah.
We're okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't know. Maybe some people aren't okay with that, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I always tell people, I don't get to decide. I'm just kind of deciding, saying who broke the traffic law that could have prevented the accident. So,
yeah, good point. Guys, for a minute, I want to mention this. Jack has sent me a text and says, talking about that couple that was killed in Nevada, Owen Hart and Athena Taylor are their names. They were killed in a motorcycle accident. They do have a fundraiser going for them right now to help cover the expenses for funerals. Oh, wow. I mean, I think they're trying to raise $30,000, but if you guys have priced out funerals now, my dad is 88, so we went in and kind of prepaid for everything. And I was like, it's how much?
Wow.
So anyway, they're trying to fundraise for these kids.
Awesome.
Who were just got engaged at Christmas time.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Where are they fundraising at?
Right now, it's online. So you just need to search online. I think it's a GoFundMe page. Okay. Yeah, it's a GoFundMe. Caleb has put it together. A GoFundMe for Owen and Athena to help their families pay for the expenses of the funeral. Very sad. I know Jack, who runs a restaurant here in town, Angelica's, he's like, we got to do something for these kids. So
yeah,
he's asking that we just mention that on the air and let people know you can help. You guys, tragic. You guys are there every day on the front lines of this, and you see how it touches families. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this, but I can't imagine informing a family member that, that their loved one has passed away.
Oh, it's tough. It's not easy at all, especially
we're human.
The traffic unit's pretty much the reconstruction team, and it's, you know, going on all these fatalities and, stuff. It's letting the family know it's tough.
And a lot of times the families, they show up, and it's, you know, you want to be with your loved one, and it's in the worst day of your life. But unfortunately, you know, we want to, so we can do right by your loved one, we have to finish our process. And at the end of the day, we want to find justice for the victims.
Yeah.
And we do that by doing our process. But so we're not trying to be insensitive. We totally understand we would do things the exact same way if it was our loved one in the street. But to do right by them, like I said, we have to finish the process.
Yeah, good point. Good point. All right, I want to ask you guys a couple of traffic questions. What is the policy, what is the law on someone who turns across traffic into a, what is a left turn lane, basically, because it's only clear on the one side, so they're turning in, basically, and then planning on merging. What's the law on that?
So you could pull into that lane to do that, but you can't use that as an acceleration lane.
People do, though.
Yes, people do. And that's where people get in trouble, right? They'll pull in that lane, which is fine. You know, 700 South is a good example, right, where people pull out of a neighborhood onto that. But then you've got to stay stationary until that gap comes and you merge over and speed up, which leads us into another thing that we see a lot here in St. George with kind of our older drivers, right? It got brought up. A guy complained to me about getting on I-15 from Sun River, right? People are blowing by him on the right side.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I asked him how fast he is when he gets to the I-15, he's like, 40 miles an hour. So, well, that's the problem, right? You're trying to merge at 40 on a roadway that's 75 miles an hour, right? That's the problem and stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
As you get into the traffic, give it some gas. Get up to speed, right? Yeah. Don't pull out and do 10 miles an hour. You're going to slowly creep up.
And they call it an on-ramp for a reason. You're supposed to speed up so that you match the speed of the cars that are coming. Yeah.
Now, going back to that two-way turn lane, you can actually, you see cars that get into it, you can get in that turn lane 550 feet prior to an intersection to move up there to turn left as long as your intention is to turn left. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, you know, five cars back, car will pull out and not where the gap is, you know, the white gap between the white and yellow lines, and complain to us going, people are merging and passing me in the turn lane. Well,
if they're going to turn left,
they can go up to 550 feet, which is roughly just less than a block here in St. George. So,
a lot of times you see the white line for you to go over into that turn lane, but before that there's like the double yellow lines. Can you cross those if you are planning on turning left?
Yep, up to 550 feet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Learn something today.
But as you do, know that people are going to be turning out for businesses.
Right, being wary.
Yeah, be wary. Pay attention.
Yeah,
somebody may pull into that turn lane for turn left.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, you brought up something that a lot of people don't think about. Maybe if you want to bring it up again, I forget the term you used. Was it sympathetic or?
A sympathy trap.
Sympathy trap. Yeah. Talk about that.
Well, it happens quite a bit. And
we got 2 minutes, by the way.
Okay, we'll use Riverside Drive for an example. Let's say you're going north from Riverside Drive and getting up to River Road and traffic starts to back up for maybe one of the lanes. So you're stopped and the lane next to you is still going fast. Well, there's somebody that wants to make a left turn from that center lane in front of you, so people leave a gap. Well, they can see that your traffic is stopped, but they can't see the stuff next to you.
Yeah.
So they go to make their turn and they cause a crash. And unfortunately, it's because someone was, you know, being nice, let them in, but they can't see that outside lane of travel. So.
Is there some advice on that? I mean, is there anything we can do about that?
You know what? If you're going to take that risk and make that left turn, just make sure that you scan each lane as you go through. Don't just gun it and you know, Jesus, take the wheel. But go slowly to your turn and make sure that outside lane's clear. And, you know, you can make that left turn. That's great. But just make sure you make sure the outside lane's clear.
I see that a lot on now. I travel Red Hills Parkway a lot, and is it 800 East or something where they're coming? It's
900
East. People want to turn there onto Red Hills Parkway one direction or the other. And I see a lot of people, oh, go ahead, you know, come on through or whatever. Yeah. But like you said, I'm stopping for you. My lane, I'm leaving you a gap. But they're not taking into account that there are people coming up in that second lane.
And the person waving you through, they're not at fault. You know, you're driving that car. You're using the steering wheel and accelerator. So you are the one that takes the risk.
And that's hard sometimes.
It is very hard.
He waved me through. Come on.
Exactly. And that guy's long gone. So,
especially with lane splitting now with motorcycles.
Yeah.
There could be a motorcycle coming up between.
Very true.
Well,
very true.
Lane splitting. And you as a motorcycle driver, you're okay with lane splitting as far as – have you guys seen any – the joke is, oh, somebody's going to open their car door or something, right? And hit, and the motorcycle's going to run into the car door. You haven't seen that, have you?
No. That would only be like a road rage incident, I would probably
say. Yeah, okay. But the thing is, though, you never know, because some people, like the stoplight, they just want to get out, maybe open the door and shut it real quick. You just got to be aware that stuff might happen, and it's an accident. So
it could happen.
It could happen.
It could happen. Well, I think, I don't know, maybe the bottom line advice in all this is you've got to be your own. You got to take care of stuff yourself, right?
Yeah.
You can't just assume the other guy is going to be that smart or that good or whatever. You've got to take care of
right.
yourself.
You can only control what you can control.
That's right.
Well, hopefully you'll get to meet Sergeant Needles and Officer Blackman on a nice, friendly basis, maybe at a town open house or something, but not at a traffic accident. Guys, thanks for coming on today. Really appreciate
it. Thank you for having us.
It's been great.
Great job. As always, good to see you, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody.